So I'd like to talk to us today about foundation. I'm thankful for the foundations that have been laid in the past. I'd like to turn to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, if you have your Bibles. And this is not the scripture that I felt like was going to be the main text, but it was later on as I began to meditate on this, it seems like this is the Lord wanted me to end with what I began thinking about. So we'll start here with Ephesians chapter 2. Just have a couple places we're going to read today, Lord willing. But a foundation. What do you think of when you say foundation? Remember, when we begin to build this part of the building, we started to dig with the backhoe up here. I believe we started right here in this corner in the back over here. Really rocky, scratching around and pulling out rocks, some of them pretty substantial in size. But by the time we got over here, there was hardly any rocks. I don't know why, but all from about this window here around this north end and back around to about that window, very little rocks that we run into. And then from there back to there, that part of the old building was a lot of rocks that we dug into. But after preparation, we poured concrete for a foundation or a footing to build our building upon. I'd like to turn Ephesians 2, verses 19 and 20. And I want us to begin to think about the foundation of our lives. We can build a building on concrete, solid rock. We probably all remember the song that we sang as a little child, talking about the wise man building his house upon the sand and on the rock, and the foolish man building his house upon the sand, and how when the rain or the storms of life come, that the wise man that built his house on the rock, his house was able to stand, and the foolish man that had built his house on the sand, his house was destroyed. Not because necessarily he built a bad house, but because the foundation washed out from underneath it. And we've all had those experiences, maybe in a setting in our home, or I've had one of those where the foundation was not stable, the house we lived in Oklahoma. Maybe that happens a lot in Oklahoma, at least in that part of the state, that the dirt and the soil beneath the house would change with the weather, and the walls would crack and the doors wouldn't stick, wouldn't open and wouldn't close, and it was a real grief to me. And so here in Ephesians 2, verse 19, it says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." If you're here today, you have at least some knowledge about what it means to be a Christian. Maybe you don't have the most thorough knowledge, and that's not something I'm here to try to determine or to try to make anyone feel insufficient about. But he says, you are no more strangers and foreigners. You're not completely unaware. But he says in verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. A chief cornerstone. A lot of times in the older buildings, they would start in one place in a establish a corner, any structure. If you're going to build it, you've got to decide, once you've determined the dimensions, where the corners are. And a lot of times in some of those older buildings, we could go and find that on the cornerstone that they started with, there would be some kind of inscription, either carved in the stone, whether it was just the letters or some kind of elaborate thing. And it might have on there that it was established or it was built, and give us a date or a time. We've seen that. And this says here that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So the foundation is the apostles and the prophets. We know that there was 12 apostles. We know that there was many prophets in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament Bible, before Jesus came, there was what we call the Old Law. And the foundational principles in the Old Law, in what the apostles' experiences were, many of them, the apostles, had been raised up following the Old Law in their earlier life. And Jesus came along and called them. Some of them were fishermen. He called them, said, "I'll make you a fisherman of men." We know those stories. We probably remember those from childhood. But they had the fundamental truths and a plan for mankind. That's what the foundation was. Fundamental truths and a plan for mankind. God's plan for mankind. God didn't put us here on this earth to just randomly go about life and, as many in the world today would have us to believe, that we don't have any plan unless we figure it out ourselves. I really believe that God has a plan for all of mankind. And he had that from the beginning. And because mankind's failure, he implemented the law to give us and establish us with a foundational principle that would help us to know how to discern what's right and wrong. Many times we come up to situations in life and we don't really know how to determine what's good and what's not. I know in trying to fix vehicles in my occupation, there are times that I come up and I'm trying to do some kind of testing and evaluation to determine what is wrong. And if you don't really know how the system works, many times it's hard to tell, is this part good or is it bad? So the Lord established the old law to give us a foundation. He gave us the apostles that had a personal experience with Jesus. They knew what it was like to live with in the same atmosphere as he was. So it gave us a foundational principle to be able to build on. And the scripture we just read says that and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The foundation is more than a cornerstone that says established AD 33. You know when that was? That's the approximate time that Jesus was crucified, AD 33. That's 2,000 years ago, almost. Is that what it is? No, it's something different than that. It's more than digging around archaeologically and finding a cornerstone that says this is where Jesus was crucified. This is when Christianity was established in the world. It's different than that. The cornerstone, the foundation, is a fundamental principle that we can build upon. It's not some geological, archaeological found place over there in the Mideast somewhere. That's not what it's all about. It's more than the Nicene Creed, I think. I don't know how you say that exactly. Something that Roman Catholicism did in about 300 AD, 320 AD, something like that. It was a creed that they said they were going to live by. It's more than that. That was something that man come up with. It's the principles of righteousness, of truth, of forgiveness and deliverance. Where would we be today if there wasn't righteousness available to us? That's a foundational concept of Christianity. Where would we be without a foundational concept of truth? And where would we be without forgiveness? We'd be guilty, wouldn't we? It's a foundational concept of Christianity. And where would we be without the hope of deliverance? To me, it's such a miserable thing to offer somebody something different, but tell them that they can't be delivered from the past. I believe that we can be a new creature today. As I was meditating about foundations, I realized in my own mind that all of us build on a foundation that the past generation has either established for us or passed on to us. You realize that? By the time you realize that there may be something wrong with the foundation, you've already been building on it. Every one of us here today. We come from a building our lives on foundational principles that was handed to us before we realized we was being given a foundation. I want that to soak into us. The things that my parents did or didn't do was a foundational principle that I began to build my life on. It shaped how I interacted with my neighbor playmates. I remember one of my best friends in school, he and his parents moved in across the street from us, and I remember him coming over to my house when we were 4 years old. And as time went on, he spent all of his waking hours over at our house. And he would come knocking on our door wanting to know if my brother and I was up. He was ready to play. And he would bring Twinkies and want to swap them for my mother's homemade cookies. And so we began to build, my brother and I began to build our lives on the principles and the foundation that our parents established, our home, and what it was like. And all of us here have done that. And all of us had a little different foundation. And I could go through and tell you what the foundation was in our home, and how my mother behaved and how my father behaved, and what their expectations of me. But that's not important today. I want you to think about your foundation. I want you to think about your experiences, and I want us to think about the foundation that we inherently, or without thinking about it, we begin to start to build on that. I began to build my life and how I approach problems by the way I seen my dad approach problems and the way my mother approached problems. And I was probably at least 10, maybe a 13-year-old, I don't know, before I realized that there might be something here that needs to be have an adjustment to it. And sometimes we don't realize that there is something foundationally that needs adjusting until maybe we're an adult. We might be 21. We might be 25. And we look back and say, there was something wrong with my foundation. And I began to build my life on a foundation that wasn't really solid. It wasn't the foundation that Jesus came to establish. It wasn't righteousness, it wasn't truth, it wasn't forgiveness, and it wasn't deliverance. And it seems to be unfortunate that by the time we realize we need a better foundation, we've already begun to build our lives on one that's been provided for us. It sounds like it's a little bit of a disadvantage, isn't it? Well, I told you about my house in Oklahoma. Had some foundation issues, and I remember hiring some people, paid them several thousand dollars to come out and do some foundational repairs for my house. I'm here to tell you that God's in the business of foundation repair. Probably one of the most famous structures in the world that has a poor foundation is a place in Italy called the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Anybody ever heard of that? They started building that before 1100 AD. It was like 1095 AD. That's a long time ago. That building is still there. And they didn't get done with it until 1370 something AD. They built on this place almost 300 years. You know when it started to lean? About 5 years into the construction. And they went ahead and built on a foundation that started to shift and lean for over 200 years. I don't know how old everybody is here today, but you know, you've been building on a foundation that might have been tilted for most of your life. And you know what the builders did? As they went up, they had, it has kind of a main floor, and then it goes up and it has another level that has columns around it, if you get a picture of it. And they had just about completed that first level with the columns around it, and they realized it was starting to tilt. So as they continued on with their construction, the side that was tilting down, they made the walls just a little bit taller on that side. So the next floor was pretty well level, but it continued to tilt more, and the next floor they built the walls just a little taller. You get the idea? So if you drew a line through the center of all of those floors, instead of being straight like we think a building ought to be, it kind of curves a little bit. And on the very top is where the bell tower is. Did you know that the Leaning Tower of Pisa is really the bell tower for a cathedral that's off to the side? I didn't really realize that. All I know about is the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but there is a big structure off to one side on the same basic property. But when they got up to the very top where they put the bells and things, because the building was leaning, they built it obviously off-center. Now, if I just pick this desk up and move it over about a foot up here on this platform, some of you, it wouldn't bother. And some of you, it would. And some of you would think, just put it in the middle. It bothers you because it's, you know, it would bother me for the top, for my roof on my house. I like symmetrical things, okay? So if I looked at my house and somebody had built the roof off about a foot, you know, the overhang on one side was about a foot wider and this side was about a foot less, it would bother me. I wouldn't have bought the house without the intent of changing the roof at some time. But they did that to try to offset the leaning. And over the course of the years, there's been many people, it's got to the point that it was leaning over 5 degrees tilt. And when you got something that's 8 or 9 floors, 10 floors high, and it's made out of stone, and it's leaning at 5 degrees, it looks like it's going to fall over. In fact, people were prophesying that it would fall over. One of the things they did is they went in and they put some counterweights on the high side. They started out with 200 tons of lead. And one account that I read about said that they ended up with 900 tons of lead on the side that was higher to try to make this thing tilt back the other way. And they weren't able to be very successful. It marginally helped to slow down the tilt. But after a lot of thinking and a lot of consideration and planning, they begin to drill holes and undermine the high side. And they feel like that at present, they have stopped the tilt and they have reduced the tilt by half a degree. And they feel like the structure is stable now. And they don't want to straighten it up completely, because who would come and see the straight Tower of Pisa? It's a tourist attraction. They want it to lean, but they just don't want it to fall over. What about us today? Are you satisfied with leaning? I had a school teacher one time because of a severe accident, automobile accident. One leg was shorter than the other. And he didn't get a shoe that was thicker for one foot. He just walked and obviously tilted when he walked. And he would joke around and tell everybody that it was because he was a hillbilly and he was used to walking on the side of a hill. They grew him with one leg shorter. But that's not the case. He was satisfied to walk around with one short leg. You know, we can be tilted in life because of a poor foundation. There's a lot of, you can go read about the Leaning Tower of Pisa yourself. But it's because of what it's built on. That's why it started to lean. You know, we can be out of kilter and we can be leaning in our life and to a point that it can look like that we're going to collapse because of a poor foundation. And I want us to tell us today that Jesus is in the foundation repair business. And I don't know exactly what needs to be done, but He can help us rebuild a spiritual foundation. And He can help us overcome foundational problems in our life. And I believe today's Father's Day, and I believe that fatherhood has been eroded in our world today. And I believe there's been some foundational issues with fatherhood over many generations. I'm telling you here this morning that God is there to help you rebuild a solid fatherhood foundation. Something in Psalms 127, wasn't planning on reading this morning, but we'll turn over there. Last verse of Psalms 127 is talking about children. I want to read the last verse. He says, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." He's talking about children. It says, "They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with enemies in the gate." He's talking about children that have been given a solid foundation of a father, of a home, and that they're able to do battle with the enemy forces and turn them at the gate. That means that the enemy didn't come through the gate. That means the enemy was able to be deflected and not be able to penetrate the home and come in and bring his devices of evil, of evil influences. The devil has not been able to come in and bring his filth, his habits, his addictions, But because there's been a solid foundation given and the children have been taught and raised in the right way, they can say, that's not coming in here. Turn them at the gate. But if you realize that there's been a foundational issue and you've not been able to turn the forces of the enemy at the gate, and something has come into your home and into your life, I want you to know today that Jesus Christ is able to make a difference. And not just build the wall a little taller on one side so it looks like it's starting to straighten up. But to fix it at the root, at the foundation, to straighten the thing up. All of us here have probably been involved in doing something on an older building, and you don't go cut all of your boards the same length. Many times you have to cut every one to a custom length because something's not square. Something's not level. Something, when we leveled up the floor over there in the old part, it probably sloped, before we started on it, it probably sloped close to 3 inches and 28 feet. I don't know how that relates to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but I know if it was 8 floors high, tilted 3 inches to one direction, that it'd be obvious. The folks driving up from 2 or 3 blocks away would say, well, there's something wrong with the foundation on that place. It's fixing to fall over. You know, the Lord is able to help us not just compensate, but fix the foundation. And I want to give us hope, because who is our foundation built on? Where do we start reading? We're built upon the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. I want you to remember that if there is something in your foundation, when you look back to where you come from, and if there's something in your foundation that is not part of the truth, the righteousness, the deliverance, the hope of God for mankind, it probably needs some fixing. And if it needs fixing, Jesus is our man. He's the one that can help us know how to restore a foundation. He'll help us with a foundation of simple integrity and trust and worthiness. He'll help us with that so that you can pass on a foundation that others can build on with confidence. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. This is the other passage of Scripture. It was my original inspiration. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's another, today we'd call it a document, but it's another book that the Apostle Paul wrote. Written because of him. I would like to read beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3, 1 Corinthians. We're going to read down through verse 14. It says here, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." You know, we may not feel like we've got it all together, and that's okay. He said, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." There's a time in our life when a little child comes into this world that their food supply is milk. And we wouldn't think about grilling them a ribeye. But you know, a ribeye sounds pretty good for me right now. Most of us here would like a ribeye, medium. That sounds good to me. But my first day on the job, so to speak, a ribeye wouldn't have tasted very good. And I wouldn't have been able to eat it. And that's what he's talking about here. If you're getting going, living for the Lord, or maybe you look back and say, there's something wrong with my foundation and I can't chew the stuff. Sometimes we talk about things that are pretty deep here at church. Really have to engage our minds. But he says here in verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? So when there's a foundational issue, there's going to be things like envying and strife and divisions. It's tilted, you see. And the Lord wants us to be able to get our foundation leveled up to where those things are resolved. And we're not struggling with envyings and strife and those kind of elements. He said, for while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another of Apollos, are you not carnal? There's a foundational issue here. We're not willing to be built on Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. You said, oh, this is my foundation over here. He said, that's carnal. That's not the proper foundation. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It has to be built upon the principles that God has for mankind. He says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We're starting to talk about a building now. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I'd like to spend just a little bit of time on this verse. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, and they put a comma there, and it says, as a wise master builder. You know, I don't believe Paul was running up a flag and tooting his own horn and saying, I'm a wise master builder. And I don't want to stand here today and say, I'm a wise master builder. He just says, according to the grace of God, which is given to me, the grace of God is what enabled him to be able to lay a foundation like a wise master builder would lay. It's only by the grace of God that we're able to help someone else be able to establish a good foundation or repair a foundation. He says, this, as a wise master would build, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. We could have the best foundation that it could have ever been given us spiritually, financially. What do you think a good financial foundation would be? When you get to be 18 years old, graduate from high school, whatever the situation is, your parent says, well, son, going to get you established in the world so you can have, make your own money. I'm going to open a bank account and I'm going to put $1 million in there. Going to establish you financially. You think that'd be a good foundation? You know where that'd probably end up? Probably not very good. You know what'd be better? Give them a foundation of, it's time to get up. Let's go to work. It's time to go to bed. Don't stay up all night. It's time to go to bed. Because tomorrow we're going to get up again. And we're going to go to work again. And while you're working, make sure you're doing it right. Don't be goofing off. And don't be over there trying to hide from the boss. But do your job. Do a good job. Do it where if somebody else comes behind you, they'll say, "My, they done a good job here. This has lasted for a long time." You know, if you give them nothing and you teach them how to work, that's a better foundation. If you give them nothing and you teach them how to work, it's a better financial. You know, if you pass on to them, study to show yourself approved. You're going to stand before God. You're the one that's going to have to answer for you. It's a better foundation than just trying to get by with what the preacher says I'm supposed to do. You're the one. Build a foundation. So if you give them a foundation, he said here, you could spend more time on that, but he says here, "I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Endeavoring to be a pastor, I've tried to lay foundational things. But all of us here are going to build your own structure on the foundation. We could teach something, we could preach something that the Lord could anoint. I trust the Lord will anoint the word to our hearts today. But it doesn't matter how much the presence of God is witnessed to you in a service here or some other place. When you go and build your structure on that, it's yours." And he says, "Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Have you been given a good foundation? In the congregation? At home? In your life? What have you built on it? What are you building on it? He says, "For another foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Remember, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble," quite a range of building materials, isn't it? Your choice. What are you going to build on the foundation? Are you just going to build a while and decide, "I'm not building a forever house. Let's just put some hay in here"? I've had a understanding there's people that try to build a house out of hay bales. They stack hay bales, treat them with something, I don't know what, and then put plaster or something on them and smooth them over on the inside and outside and make it look like a house, but they got a wall that's however thick of hay bales. Boy, I don't know. I'm not convinced. I'd like to have some 2x4s in those walls. Maybe some cinder blocks somewhere, but I don't know. Set my roof on a stack of hay bales, that don't sound very good. I don't know how long that treatment's going to last, and it's going to settle. It's got to settle somehow. Then there might be some termites that's immune to that, whatever that was, that a nest of termites that might really turn that into a bad situation. Wood, hay, and stubble. I wonder, is that what we've been building with on the foundation? So if you're here this morning and maybe you've been given, we talked earlier about a foundation that wasn't good, and God's got a repair for that. And now we're going to talk just a little bit about good foundations. Maybe you've been given a good foundation. Maybe you've been given a good foundation financially, and maybe you've been given a good foundation spiritually. What are you building on it? You building with gold and silver, precious stones? Are you being careful and selective with what you build, or are you building with wood, hay, and stubble? Because it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The fire, the tests and the trials of life. You know, they say the proof is in the pudding. What's your pudding? There's going to be a testing of time. There's going to be a testing of the end. Testing of the end. What are we building on the foundation today? Is it something that's going to stand, or is it going to go up in smoke? If any man's work abide, this is verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Good foundation, good building, good reward. Good foundation, bad building, bad reward. You can have the best foundation given to you. You can inherit it. You can have it repaired. I think it really troubles me that we start out building on a foundation before we realize whether it's good or bad, because we all do that. But there's so much hope that God is able to fix that. I want you to go home with that. And I want us to make sure that we only build good buildings on the good foundation. A good foundation is not a guarantee that the structure will be good. What type of spiritual life are we building? What are you building on it? Are you building wood and hay and stubble? Are you building something that caters to the flesh? I'll tell you a little secret about me yesterday. I really wanted to sleep in. I pushed yesterday. Everything I did, I pushed yesterday. Because I really didn't want to do nothing. If I'd have done nothing, it'd been like wood, hay, and stubble. I wouldn't have added to my structure to glorify God. I want it to be something. I want my life to be something that'll be different than the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I want someone to be able to look on my life when I'm gone and say, he built on a good foundation. And he built one to last. I want you to have a structure that will glorify God here and through eternity. You pray for me.